Please turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. This morning we searched the scriptures for the purpose of helping us learn about worship. If we want to know the truth on any Bible subject, we need to search the scriptures very carefully. We need to rightly divide them. We will know what God wants us to know. Well, this evening we want to continue our study along the same theme. We want to search Psalm 100 to help us learn about worship. The Bible contains so much information on worship that we're not able to cover all of it in one or two lessons. But we are concentrating on some general important principles that relate to worship. Well, we can learn some very important information about worship from this one short, beautiful psalm. We want to divide this psalm into two main sections. The first section consists of verses 1, 2, and 3. And we will see that Psalm 100 begins with an appeal. And that appeal is for God's people to offer him praise. Let's look at three statements made in the first two verses, which indicate that God's people are to give him praise. One statement is, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Another statement is, serve the Lord with gladness. I can't help but think about the statement that David made in Psalm 122 and verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And then the third statement is, come before his presence with singing. Now, these are different ways of making the same appeal, that God's people are to give him praise. Did you notice the songs that we were singing go along this same line of reasoning and study? Many of the beautiful songs that we sing today have to do with offering praise unto God. Well, that's one thing that we do when we sing. We offer praise unto God. We also teach and admonish one another. I want you to notice that many of the Psalms begin with similar statements. Let's look at Psalm 95 and verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 96, verse 1. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. It's interesting that among the 150 Psalms, many of them contain similar statements that God's people are to offer him praise. Well, not only does this psalm teach us to offer praise unto God, it goes on to show in verse 3 why God deserves our praise. And in Psalm 100, in verse 3, I think we will see that three statements are made which show why God deserves our praise. Statement number 1, the Lord, he is God. That's a powerful statement. And that same statement is made numerous times throughout the Psalms. Go back to Psalm 95 for just a moment. Let's read verses 3, 4, and 5. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Over and over again, we are reminded in the book of Psalms that the Lord, he is God. I wish that more people today would examine the evidence which shows that there is a God in heaven, because there's a tremendous amount of evidence proving that God exists. But people have been taught for so many years that there is no God. Consequently, in my judgment, that's had a very harmful effect upon our people, upon our customs, and upon the ways that we live. Well, one reason why God deserves praise is he is God. Let's consider another statement made in verse 3, which shows why God deserves our praise. He has made us, and not we ourselves. Look at verse 6 of Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Over and over again, the Psalms emphasize the fact that God is the Creator. He made everything. And then another statement which shows why God deserves our praise. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Many times in Scripture, the Bible uses the shepherd-sheep relationship to help us understand things about the relationship between God and his people. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. I don't know about you, but that sort of reminds me of what David said in the 23rd Psalm. He began by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." That's a great statement. You need to know something about David. As a young boy, he tended his father's sheep. He was very much aware that he was responsible for taking care of those sheep. They were basically defenseless animals. And before he took on Goliath the giant, he reflected upon an occasion when he protected his father's sheep from a lion and a bear. Just recently on the internet, I have seen several videos of a bear making an attack. Why in the world someone would go to a national park and try to get as close to a wild bear as possible is beyond me. I've done some challenging things, shall we say, over the years, especially when I was younger. But my mama taught me not to mess around with wild bears. I never saw one when I was growing up, but I knew better than to mess with them. I've also seen some videos of what a wild lion can do. I wouldn't want to take on one lion or one bear by myself. David took on two, a lion and a bear. He did so to protect his father's sheep. I believe that was helping David to prepare for the fact that one day he would be the king of Israel. He would be the shepherd of his sheep. It would be his responsibility to take care of that flock. Of course, the flock ultimately belonged to God. But David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He was very familiar with the protection that a shepherd is to provide for his sheep. And if you examine David's Psalms, he wrote about half of them, you will see that he reflected upon God's goodness and God's deliverance on a continual basis. Well, David went on to show in the 23rd Psalm about the blessings that he enjoyed as a result of making the Lord his shepherd. He said, "I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't know at what point in his life David wrote that psalm. He wrote some magnificent psalms. I especially love Psalm 19 and Psalm 139. Those are among my favorites. But if I had been him, I would have been tempted to put down my psalmist pen after writing the 23rd Psalm. It's just magnificent. But David reflected upon the very special blessings that he enjoyed as a result of making God his shepherd. Now let's apply that to what we're talking about in Psalm 100. The psalmist in Psalm 100 began by showing that God is to be praised by his people. He went on to show why God deserves praise from his people. And the last point we made is that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That has to do with the very close and special relationship that God has with his people. Well, we learn from the opening verses of Psalm 100 that God's people are to praise him with joy and gladness, and we are given several reasons why God deserves to be praised. In this day of confusion, I believe we need to reflect upon these matters continually. You know, even David, if you examine his writings very carefully, went through times when he was discouraged. He even got to the point why he asked why God had forsaken him. But he did not stay in that particular state. He would usually reflect upon God's blessings in the past, and that would help him to get through that very difficult period in his life. Well, we would do well to remember that God deserves our praise, and then we need to reflect upon why God deserves our praise. Well, let's look at the last two verses of Psalm 100. And another appeal is made in these final two verses. And that appeal is for God's people to give him thanks. This is very closely related to giving God praise. But in addition to praising God, and we know why he deserves our praise, we're to give him thanks. Look at verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and be thankful unto him. Those are two statements indicating that God's people are to offer him thanks. Now, I want you to notice that being thankful is connected with entering into God's courts with praise and blessing his name. These two go together, offering God praise and offering God thanks. Well, the writer went on to show in verse 5 why God deserves our thanksgiving. Statement number 1, the Lord is good. Now, that's a brief statement, but it's powerful. I've mentioned this a number of times. I'll mention it again. Sometimes when somebody experiences something very pleasant, they will respond by saying, God is good. Well, we certainly want to express our gratitude to God for pleasant things that take place in our lives. However, God is not only good when everything is going well in our lives. God is good all the time. If he wasn't good all the time, then how could we have assurance of that statement that we've spent so much time on Wednesday evening studying in Romans 8 and verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, those who are the called according to His purpose. If God was not good all the time, we wouldn't have confidence that He works all things together for our ultimate good. Well, the Lord is good. That's one reason why we need to offer Him our gratitude. Another statement is that His mercy is everlasting. I can't think of too many things that will last forever. The Bible does address several things that are everlasting. But let's notice what's said about God's mercy. Look also at Psalm 103. Let's look at a couple of verses. Psalm 103 in verse 8 says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy." And then verse 11, "For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him." Now, the writer of Psalm 100 says His mercy is everlasting. That's one reason why God deserves our gratitude. But let's consider a third statement in verse 5 of Psalm 100. "His truth endureth to all generations." Not only is God's mercy everlasting, but His truth is everlasting. It endures to all generations. Well, we learn from verses 4 and 5 of Psalm 100 that God's people are to offer Him thanks, and we're given several reasons why He deserves our gratitude. I believe we need to reflect upon the message of this psalm very carefully. Things are taking place in our world today that cause much confusion and cause us to have a lot of concern. Well, we need to take the time to reflect upon Psalm 100 and how it has to do with worship. We're to offer God praise, and we're to offer God our gratitude. Now in John 4, verses 23 and 24, when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman about worship, He said that the Father seeks true worshipers to worship Him. I don't know about you, but I find that to be a marvelous statement. Sometimes we say, God doesn't need anything. Well, that's true from one perspective. But I do know that He seeks certain things. One thing that He seeks is to be worshiped by true worshipers. Jesus identified true worshipers as those who worship the Father in spirit and in truth. To worship in spirit means to worship with the proper attitude and disposition, to worship sincerely, to worship from the heart. To worship in truth involves complying with God's will as it is revealed in the New Testament. But let's not forget what we've talked about from Psalm 100 and tie that in with true worship. According to Psalm 100, true worshipers offer praise to the Lord with joy and gladness. Why? Because God is God. Because God is our Maker. And because God is our Shepherd. But then, according to Psalm 100, true worshipers will express gratitude to the Lord. Why? For His goodness, for His mercy, and His truth. These are characteristics of God that are very special. And if we reflect upon these things and offer God praise and thanksgiving on a regular basis, I believe that others will observe that in our behavior. You can't help but have a positive impact upon your life if you will do what Psalm 100 says. That being the case, others will make note of it. And you just never know when someone might ask a question. And that just might provide the opportunity to tell someone about the Lord. Well, I don't know how many different people wrote the Psalms. I know David wrote about half of them. I know Moses wrote Psalm 90, and there are some other writers identified. I don't know who wrote Psalm 100, but one day I'd like to thank him for writing it. But the best thing we can do right now is to practice what it teaches. I don't know when that psalm was written. I don't know the circumstances in which it was written. That's just not revealed to us. But it contains a powerful message that never grows old.